Hello, this is the Christmas Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. And a Merry Christmas to you all. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A Stone Age exhibition opens in Dubai. A Timor cave may reveal how humans reached Australia. Solstice celebrations are held at a megalithic site. And the Australian government rejects the listing for an ancient site. Archaeology team is finished for the season at a Canadian site. And an ancient site in Colorado becomes a jewel in the state's crown. The remains of a shrouded 5,000-year-old child are unearthed in Iran. An archaeological exhibition has been organised by the Dubai Department of Tourism at the Sheikh Syed Al Maktoum House in Al Shindaga as part of the heritage and cultural programmes lined up for the Dubai Shopping Festival until February the 2nd. The unique show offers insights into lifestyles of the residents, including currency, weapons and utensils of the present-day Emirates ages ago. Dr. Hussein Kandil said the exhibits and artefacts on display are from the Sarug al-Hadid, one of the five archaeological sites in the Emirate of Dubai. Sarug al-Hadid is the largest and most important site in the Emirate, covering around 14 square kilometres. The finds date back to the Neolithic period, 7,000 to 4,000 BCE, and also to the first millennium BCE and the Bronze Age. The exhibition gives an idea of the history of the settlement around Dubai. Situated 100 kilometres south of Dubai in Sand Dune area, the archaeological teams at the site have recovered huge quantities of bronze tools, grinding stones, carnelian beads, rings and fragments of soft stone vessels. The excavations also led to the discovery of large settlements engaged in copper production, copper ore, slag heaps, furnace fragments, copper ingots, and a large number of grinding and crushing stones were found on the site, suggesting that it was one of the ancient copper smelting villages of the region. Well, best wishes to them all there. My time working in the Emirates was one of great discovery and pleasure, and I look forward to returning, perhaps next year. An archaeologist has discovered the oldest evidence of occupation by modern humans on the islands that were the stepping stones from Southeast Asia to Australia. A cave site in East Timor, where people lived more than 42,000 years ago, ate turtles, tuna and giant rats, was unearthed by Sue O'Connor, head of archaeology and natural history at the Australian National University. Dr. O'Connor also found ancient stone tools and shells used for decoration in the limestone shelter, known as Jerry Malai, on the eastern tip of the island. She said her discovery could help solve the mystery of the route ancient seafarers took to get here from Southeast Asia. It strengthens the view that they made a southern passage via Timor rather than travelling northwards via Borneo and Sulawesi, then down through Papua New Guinea. Sea levels were lower when modern humans set off from the coasts of Africa more than 70,000 years ago. People who made it to the large southeastern Asian landmass known as Sunda, however, still had to cross deep ocean channels to get to Australia, then joined to Papua New Guinea in a continent called Sahul. Until now, the age of the habitation sites found on the stepping stone islands in between have been much younger than those found in Australia, making it impossible to determine the route taken. Although the Jerimalai site is at least 42,000 years old, it could be much older, because this was the detection limit of the radiocarbon dating method used. She said the simple stone tools unearthed in the shelter were similar to those used by the species of hobbit-sized people who lived in a cave on the nearby island of Flores until 12,000 years ago. But she was confident that Jerimalai's inhabitants were modern humans, Homo sapiens, and not the small-brained members of the Homo floresiensis, because of the evidence for their sophisticated behaviour found in the dig. Fish, such as tuna for example, could only have been captured in the deeper waters offshore using hooks, and probably also using sea-going craft. The find, however, does raise a big question, such as why modern humans appear to have bypassed Flores on their way to Timor. It's clear that this region warrants a great deal more study. 20 sun worshippers braved the cold to mark the winter solstice at Avebury in Wiltshire in England. Druid keeper of the stones, Terry Dobney, led a ceremony marking the important day on the pagan calendar. While fog hid the sun, the group formed a circle, albeit a small one, within the stones. Further south, confusion reigned at Stonehenge as English Heritage told a crowd assembled there that the solstice was not actually officially until the 22nd of December. About 60 people turned up in the circle in South Wiltshire, cloaked in frost and fog, only to be told that it was the wrong day. Some had turned up in flowing robes, while others were wearing lovingly crafted winter solstice wreaths on their heads, decorated with berries. After negotiating with the site manager's English Heritage, the crowd performed its traditional solstice activity before then leaving peacefully, hopefully returning again the next day. The pagan celebration of winter solstice is one of the oldest winter celebrations in the world. An English Heritage spokesman said most people assumed that because summer solstice was always on the 21st of June, that its winter counterpart occurred on the same date in December. Many people that it always falls on December the 21st. However, the solstice varies and the time when it ought to be celebrated is open to different interpretations. The astronomical moment of the solstice was actually at 22 minutes past midnight on the 22nd of December this year, and so English Heritage and many pagans believe the solstice celebrations ought to have been celebrated at sunrise that morning. They'd ask celebrants to arrive at 7:45 on the 22nd of December. The winter solstice tends to be a much more muted affair than its summer equivalent anyway. Almost 20,000 people turned up at the summer solstice at Stonehenge, whereby 1,500 came to its winter version. However, on the same day, for 17 magical minutes starting at 8:58 a.m, the inner chamber of the ancient tomb of Newgrange in County Meath in Ireland was illuminated on the shortest day of the year. Inside, a small group of 18 officials, academics, scientists, dignitaries, and members of the public watched enthralled on a cloudless morning as the rising sun's rays crept along the 19-metre-long passage before bursting brightly into the cave-like centre. Up to 50,000 people applied to be included on this occasion, but only a lucky few had their names drawn for the privilege by local schoolchildren. A further 80 won places in the chamber over 2 days, each side of yesterday's event, giving them a good insight into the annual experience. Australian Federal Environment Minister Ian Campbell has turned down an application for emergency heritage listing of the Burrup Peninsula Rock Art site, which is under threat from a major gas installation. Senator Campbell said that while he regarded the site extremely significant, he did not believe that the threat was sufficient to warrant emergency listing. The application was made by Australian Green Senator Rachel Seward, Labour MP Carmen Lawrence and Independent MP Peter Andren. The Burrup site contains hundreds of thousands of rock carvings said to date back thousands of years. Woodside Energy Limited wants to build an onshore facility for its Pluto liquefied gas project. The National Trust of Australia says that the Burrup site in northwestern Australia contains one of the largest and most important collection of petroglyphs in the world. It says the collection of standing stones may also be the largest in the world. However, Senator Campbell said in a statement that on the basis of evidence presented to him, which includes advice from the Australian Heritage Council, he did not consider that the perceived threat to national heritage values of the area warranted an emergency heritage listing. Senator Campbell said that he had been advised that there was only one standing stone within the disturbance footprint that might actually have national heritage value, and other motifs and archaeological material within the footprint will be relocated by Woodside in accordance with a cultural heritage management plan. He described the whole area as a significant place, but said the perceived threat to the national heritage value of the Dampier Archipelago did not warrant an emergency listing. Consequently, he has now actually given approval to Woodside for initial preparation works at Site A, including engineering works and fencing. Professor John Mulvaney from the University of Melbourne said it was crazy that the government was considering giving up the ancient carvings just for the sake of a modern development. I suspect that having a plant next to the site has not also been considered in its entirety. If you have to think about it, the entire setting will be altered. Badger strongly opposes this plan. An archaeology team has completed its fieldwork for the season on the disputed Caledonia site in southern Ontario in Canada. This autumn, a crew of field directors and field assistants from Timmins Martel Heritage Consultants, along with archaeological monitors and field assistants from the Six Nations, resurveyed a portion of the Douglas Creek Estate's property. The archaeological survey involved walking the ploughed portion of the property to look for artifacts on the surface. Artifacts that were found were marked and mapped, and a sample of these were collected. The crew then also assessed topsoil spoil heaps on the property to look for more artifacts. Test excavations were conducted on two small campsites in the northwest corner of the Douglas Creek Estate's property that were investigated during the previous archaeological work and date to between 3 to 6,000 years ago. 13,000 years ago, people lived in northern Colorado's Lindenmeyer Valley in USA, hunting the ancient giant bison. 500 years ago, people there built stone teepee rings and dug out earthen ovens. Today, the city of Fort Collins in Larimer County together own 23,000 acres of the famous archaeological site, and they're trying to figure out how people can enjoy the area without destroying it. Mark Steiger, an archaeologist at Western State College in Gunnison, said a cautious approach is appropriate. Next month, Dalen Figgs, senior environmental planner with Fort Collins Natural Areas Program and his counterpart at Larimer County, will begin the first of several public meetings to plan the future of the properties now called Soapstone Prairie Natural Area and Red Mountain Open Area. Both were purchased about 2 years ago and are scheduled to be open to the public in 2009. At issue are the location of roads and trails, what paths can be travelled by foot, horse or even bike, and whether people should be allowed off these trails. The planning process begins just as Colorado State University archaeologist Jason LaBelle finishes 12 months of surveying of the region, the first comprehensive assessment since the Smithsonian Institution studied a half-mile stretch of the valley in the 1930s. Scientists back then called the Folsom people who lived in the Lindenmeyer Valley the oldest culture yet discovered in North America. Today, LaBelle calls Lindenmeyer the New York City of the Folsom people, who hunted and gathered in the mountains, plains and foothills of Colorado thousands of years ago. LaBelle suspects that families gathered in the Lindenmeyer Valley in the winter, forming groups of up to 100. The region has been inhabited continually for 13,000 years. LaBelle suspects this based upon his summer's discovery of more than 200 new sites. The first public meeting is scheduled for 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on January the 24th at Fort Collins Senior Centre. For more information, go to fcgov.com. The skeleton of a 5,000-year-old child wrapped in a winding sheet was discovered at the foot of a wall in Talab Khan Mound, which is located near the burnt city in Sistan Balochistan province in Iran. The skeleton was discovered in a room of a house while remnants of a white cloth were found wrapped around it. The cloth shows that the child could have been shrouded before burial. It was very common for children to be buried at home in prehistoric times, but what astounds the archaeologists is that the Talab Khan Mound is located only a short distance from the burnt city and was actually one of the city's satellite villages. But the burnt city has a cemetery separate from the urban area, while the Talab Khan site has burials within its residential area. The skeleton of the child has been sent to the Burnt City Research Centre, and a team of experts is carrying out botanical studies on pieces of cloth at Zabol University. The archaeologist's discovery of a similar burial at the site 2 years ago, but it has deteriorated and very little of it was left. Now, before going off for the day, I'd just like to take the opportunity to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. And my thanks go once again to Dave Horrocks for mastering these podcasts and to Diego of Stone Pages for collecting all the news stories. And perhaps I might allow myself a small raise of the glass as well, though I have to say that I enjoy this so much that it's always a pleasure. My favourite stories of the year have been the work at Jiroft in Iran and the Bronze Age boat journey from Oman to India. Can anyone tell me if they actually ever made it there? And, of course, my all-time favourites, the Bosnian pyramids. Now tell me, why should you let reality just get in the way of a good story? I'm actually quite tempted myself to suggest that a small stone I found in my back garden is in fact the tip of a pyramid that was completely buried, let's say 50,000 years ago. Beat that, Mr. Osmanagic. Next week we hope to look back at some of the best stories of 2006, but once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as the UK Heritage Calendar, Library and Guidance section can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found on Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks so much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly this Christmas. We hope you'll return again next week, or should I say, next year.